Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks for downloading the John Contreras Show on demand. And remember, you can always listen to my show as well as on-demand audio from Ben and Woods, Gwen and Chris, and other Intercom San Diego stations using the Radio.com app. Remember to subscribe to our podcast so you never miss an episode. Hour number two, Coach John Contreras with you until 3 o'clock. We'll get you Gwen and Chris today, and then we'll get you the Padre pregame show coming up at 3:40 tonight. First pitch will be at 4:40. Interesting matchup tonight. Padres going with right-hander Garrett Richards, making his debut coming off Tommy John surgery. He's been working down in the minor leagues right now. And, again, he'll be back on the major league mound tonight. This is more of a mental thing than a physical thing, I think, for Garrett Richards. And Milwaukee will go with right-hander Zach Davies, who's 9-7 with a 3.77 earned run average. Brewers are three games back of St. Louis right now in the NL Central, one game back of the Cubs for the second wild card in the National League. Hey, I want to remind everyone you can join 97.3 The Fan September 21st at the American Heart Association, the San Diego Heart and Stroke Walk. Together we will save lives. Learn more at sdheartwalk.org. And again, Chris Ello from 97.3 The Fan, going to be the master of ceremonies. And again, want to remind everyone, we got Bench the Coach coming up here at 1:50 today. And today, oh boy, these are valuable. A four-pack of passes to Ultra Star Cinemas. So if you like going to the movies, you want to definitely join me today for Bench the Coach. I'm going to throw the phone number out. We were talking about the Padres. What would you do? I want to get into the NFL a little bit, but our phone number, if you'd like to dial me up today, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. I gave the Aztec fans plenty of opportunities in the first hour of the program, and not one Aztec fan called. Not one Aztec fan called to call a talk show that likes to talk about the Aztecs. Just don't know what kind of crowd they're going to get for 7:30 on a Saturday night. I'll be honest with you, I'm going to sit at home and watch it on the CBS Sports Network. I'm going to watch all the other great football on Saturday, and I'll watch the game on television tonight or on Saturday night. So I'd like to get your thoughts. Aztecs, a three-point underdog in their stadium against a 1-1 Utah State team. But I want to get to the NFL. And we got to start off with these quarterbacks because they're dropping like flies. Ben Roethlisberger going to be done for the year. Done for the year. Going to have surgery on that right elbow. And you just have to kind of wonder where Ben Roethlisberger's career is going to go. You got to wonder whether or not he's even going to come back. I mean, each of the last 2 years we heard, not so much this past off season, but after the 2017 season, there was a lot of talk that Roethlisberger was going to hang it up. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer for me. I don't know where you see him, but I see him as a first ballot Hall of Famer. Going to have surgery on that elbow. That means Mason Rudolph, a third round pick in 2018 at Oklahoma State, who came in yesterday and I thought played pretty well. He did throw a pick yesterday, but he was also 12-19 for 112 yards and two touchdowns. They lost at home to Seattle 28-26. How about Pete Carroll's team off to a nice 2-0 start? You've got three teams now in the NFC West that are 3-0. 49ers get a nice win, and boy, they beat up the Cincinnati Bengals yesterday. Garoppolo had a big day. And, of course, the Rams are 2-0. But Ben Roethlisberger, I wonder if we've seen the last of him. I wonder if that was his last game we'll ever see him in the National Football League or whether or not he'll come back next year. And there's a couple of reasons. Number one, he's not getting any younger. But number two, the Pittsburgh Steelers are 0-2 right now. I don't know what they're going to do with Mason Rudolph as their quarterback, but it looks like to me they're almost having to go through a rebuilding process there. And I just was starting to wonder whether Mike Tomlin's going to survive down the road. A disappointing season a year ago in a lot of ways. But again, this year, 0-2, You got to kind of wonder where it's headed there in Pittsburgh. And then, of course, Drew Brees injuring that ligament yesterday in his right thumb. He's going to have surgery. And they're saying he's probably going to be out somewhere about 6 weeks. So we'll have to wait and see on that. But here's Ryan Clark from ESPN, the former Pittsburgh Steeler, who I think is doing a great job on ESPN, talking about Drew Brees and where the Saints go from here.
It hurts what they do from a schematic and strategic standpoint. So for this team, this is such a huge blow, not only to the New Orleans Saints, but to the city of New Orleans that was trying to get to the Super Bowl after two heartbreaking losses in the playoffs in back-to-back years.
That's Ryan Clark talking about Drew Brees and what this is going to do for the New Orleans Saints. You know, I look at the Saints. I mean, Teddy Bridgewater is good enough to win some football games. You know, he got run out of Minnesota because he got hurt, and they didn't give him really an ample time, I don't think, to actually get up and running. And I guess they just felt that he wasn't going to be the guy. What'll be interesting to watch here is Taysom Hill, the former BYU quarterback. You know, he's playing a little receiver now. What package are they going to come up with him? And I got to believe they're going to have a package. They're just not going to go in there, and it's not going to be Bridgewater all the time. I think they're going to have a package like they did for Hill when Breeze was there, down around the goal line. And I don't know if I totally 100% agree with that. You're asking him now to take a snap from center. It changes the cadence along the line of scrimmage. You're more prone to maybe false starts. But, again, Taysom Hill and doing a good job in that role. And Sean Payton. Let's face it, he's a very, very creative coach, and he may be able to make this work. I do think the Saints are in better position now than they were, say, 4 or 5 years ago when they didn't have much of a defense. They got a pretty good defense right now. You wouldn't have known it yesterday against the Rams, but nonetheless, they've got a pretty good defense, and I think they might be able to survive without Drew Brees being back there for 6 weeks. I mean, Teddy Bridgewater's got some ability, and you know what? This is going to be a great opportunity for him to really showcase what he's able to get done. And, again, it'll be fun to watch Taysom Hill because he's done a great job. I mean, there's no doubt he's done a great job. Let's get back to the phones. Again, if you'd like to dial me up, I want to get into the Chargers and Rams. That loss by the Chargers yesterday, they scored 10 points. Austin Eckler fumbles on the goal line. They have two touchdowns called back. They missed two field goals. You know what? They played Charger football yesterday. How many times did we see that over the years here in San Diego? We'll get into that more, but I want to get back to more of your phone calls. 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Adrian, welcome to 97.3 The Fan. You're on with Coach John Quintero. How you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing good, Coach. How about yourself?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for the call.
All right. So, you know, Padres baseball. So here's what I want to say about it. First, I want to address the players. I want to say 2 weeks ago, they were down in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And the game was really close. I want to say in the seventh or eighth inning, we were in it, right? Hopped in the shower, came back, and the game was blown wide open. It just was no longer competitive. But more than that, the cameraman panned over to the Padres dugout.
Uh-huh.
And I saw a bunch of guys just, like, you know, kind of like slapdicking around, like just laughing and giggling, right? And I'm like, you know, I played semi-pro football for 8 years, and I played college football at the lower level. But nonetheless, if we were getting our butts whipped, man, we weren't laughing or joking around. And if you did, you didn't want to be that guy come conditioning the next week. So the mindset, I have a problem with that. When I see that as a fan, I have a problem with that. Guys are laughing in the dugout and you guys are losing? I don't understand that. And that's a reflection, right, to the coach, right? I mean, we're grown men and we're adults, but he can't watch us, you know, every second of the game. But, I mean, if we respect the coach and we respect the game, we're not going to be laughing and jiggling around. You know, that's just what I got. I don't think that. I think something's wrong with the environment. Somebody needs to light a foot up, you know, but not a foot, but light a little bit of fire under these guys' butts and get these guys playing. If they're too comfortable, they're content. And I don't think they're going to do anything next year if they continue to have that same attitude, Coach.
Well, Adrian, I will tell you this. You know, I've noticed that. I also notice it on other teams. It's not just the San Diego Padres. I mean, I'll see good teams. I'll see middle-of-the-road teams in there. And it's not the way I would like my ball club to act. And I realize, and I thank you very much for the phone call. Good call, and you bring up some great points. You know, I want my team to be intense day in and day out. I also realize it's a long season, 162 games. Now you've expanded the roster. You got other guys up there. You got a lot of pitchers that have a lot of time on their hands unless they're going down to the bullpen to throw. And I'm not going to make an excuse. I mean, you got to come ready to play every night. And I'm not saying the Padres aren't coming ready to play every night. I do think they show up. I just don't think they're a very good baseball team right now. And I think a lot of them want the season to get over. They've not had great years. It's been long. And I can only imagine if these guys were playing in another market. I mean, here in San Diego, we're nice to the players. I mean, we give them the benefit of the doubt more times than not. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and, you know, blow air up their skirt and tell them how great they are when they're dogging it and not playing well. I mean, if a guy's not playing well, that's one thing, and we all know that. But if a guy's dogging it, I'm going to call guys out. And I did for all the years I did the pre- and post-game show. If a guy was dogging it, I'm going to call him on it. And if they don't like it, play better. That's my theory. If you don't like what's being said about you, play better. And this ball club right now is stale. They're not playing well. They don't have very many guys that are having great years. I mentioned the three guys. One of them's been out a high percentage of the year in Fernando Tatis Jr. Machado's got pretty good numbers, but I think to a degree he's underperformed. But I think he'll be better next year because he's going to know his environment a little bit better. He'll understand this league a little bit better. You can say, well, he played last year with the Dodgers. Yeah, he did the second half of the year, but they're still facing a lot of guys he'd probably not seen last year. And next year, I think Manny probably has a much better year, and I think he'll be motivated to have a better year, even though he's hit the 30 bombs this year. Hosmer's done what Hosmer does. I mean, I figured Eric could come back. He's a competitive guy. He's a good guy. He's a hardworking guy. He's come back and performed very, very well this year. But they got to get other guys. And again, when we're talking about getting to the playoffs, are you kidding me? I mean, you need to figure out what you're doing behind the plate. And I know we're all tired of talking about that. And, you know, we'll see if Mejia comes back. I mean, he's been swinging the bat a little bit. He's got that oblique. I don't know if we're going to see him. We know Austin Allen's not the answer. Austin Hedges, he could be the greatest defensive catcher in the history of baseball, but you got to be able to hit 200. Okay? So right there, you got a problem in the middle of the diamond. Then you go up the middle. They always say you build your ball club the strength of your ball club and championship teams are in the middle of the diamond. We got one of the most exciting baseball players in the world right now in Fernando Tatis Jr. And hopefully next year he can come back and stay healthy. At second base, question mark. Center field, question mark. Starting pitcher, question mark. Bullpen, question mark. And we're talking about competing for a playoff spot next year when up the middle, you've got one guy right now that you can truly count on. One guy. I mean, you tell me who you can count on in the pitching rotation right now outside of Chris Paddock. Garrett Richards, we don't know if he can even come out of this start tonight healthy. You want to bring back Lauer, Lucchesi? You tell me. 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. When we come back, I got to get into the Chargers. I want to talk a little Rams. We got Jason Cole, NFL writer, editor-in-chief of fansided.com, joining us at 1:35. Remember, we got Bench the Coach as well coming up at 1:50. Coach John Katera, we're going to 3 o'clock. Thanks for joining me today right here on 97.3 The Fan. 1:21 the time. Coach John Katera with you to 3 o'clock. And Gwen and Chris today. Milwaukee Brewers tonight. I'm going to watch. Heck yeah, I'm going to watch. I never miss a Padre game. You know, it doesn't matter whether I'm on the air or off the air. My wife is so good. She knows that, hey, I'm going to always be dialed into the San Diego Padres. I want to thank Jay Paris, by the way, been a longtime writer, wrote a really nice article on me in the Coast newspaper this past week, and it talked about my love for the San Diego Padres. You get an opportunity, and you live in the North County, pick up the Coast News. You could probably go online and find it, but it was a really, really nice article and really pictured me really, I think, the way I am. So thanks again to Jay Paris for doing that. Hey, by the way, coming up in the next 30 minutes, listen for your name to be called and call back. To win a family four-pack of tickets to SeaWorld, you'll also be entered into our grand prize drawing for a two-night stay at the Venetian Resort in Las Vegas, including a trip to Legacy Stadium, the ultimate sports bar with stadium-style seating. Make sure you sign up at 973thefansd.com/biggestfan to enter. And again, we'll be calling that out here in the next half hour. Also, Bench the Coach coming up at 1:50 today. And we've got a four-pack of passes to the UltraStar Cinemas. Want to get into the Chargers. Now I'm going to get right out to the phones. Again, if you'd like to dial me up, talk a little NFL this segment, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Chargers yesterday lose at Ford Field, 13-10. Matthew Stafford hit Kenny Golladay midway in the fourth quarter for a touchdown. That was the difference in the ball game. And I got to tell you, yesterday, I had the worst luck this week in fantasy football. I had the worst luck. I lost to Tony Gwynn Jr., and I got beat up pretty good, to be honest with you. It all started back on Thursday night when I had O.J. Howard for Tampa Bay, and he went for a goose egg in that ball game. But then Kenny Golladay yesterday just had a big day against the San Diego Chargers. And right now I'm down. I'm going to get beat because I don't have any players tonight, but I'm down 111.48 to 81.12. But here's what happened to me. And I mentioned Golladay had a big day. He had 21, over 21 points, just under 22 points yesterday. But the thing that killed me, Drew Brees didn't even get me a point. Now, how many times would you think Drew Brees wouldn't get you at least 1 point? And even if he had a big day, I'd have probably ended up getting beat because Tony tonight has Crowder for the Jets. By the way, how many people are going to rush home through rush hour traffic to watch that ball game tonight? Are you kidding me? You got the Cleveland Browns taking on the New York Jets. Sam Darnold out with mono. They're going to go with the former Denver quarterback, Trevor Siemian. Now, tomorrow when I come in, this is either going to be all about, hey, Baker Mayfield really got those guys on the right page. They've righted the ship. Odell Beckham, he wore his watch and scored three touchdowns and yada, yada, yada. Or we're going to be talking tomorrow about the Cleveland Browns. That hype is over. They're 0-2, and, you know, the guys aren't getting along, and Beckham's popping off. He's not getting the ball enough. I can only imagine. But I don't know how many people are going to really hustle home tonight to watch that ball game. But getting back to the Chargers before I get back to the phones, Phillip Rivers yesterday, 21 of 36, 293, an interception. I'll tell you what, Phillip had, late in the ball game, had a really nice run for 12 yards to move the chains. But, boy, anytime he runs, you got to hold your breath. Austin Eckler yesterday fumbles at the goal line, did have a day of 17 carries, 66 yards, a touchdown. Also caught the ball out of the backfield six times for 67 yards. Our buddy Justin Jackson, seven carries, 59 yards. Keenan Allen was okay yesterday, eight catches, 98 yards. Mike Williams looked good. He left the game for a while yesterday but came back, ended up with 83 yards on three receptions. You know, I look at the Chargers, and I'm going, I just don't see it. They got too many injuries. Okun's out. Melvin Gordon's still working out here in San Diego. Derwin James is out. I thought Bosa played pretty well yesterday, but I just don't know if they've got it. I just don't know if they've got it. And this Sunday, they're going to be at home to take on the Houston Texans. That will be a good test for the Chargers, to say the least. Very disappointed in what I saw from the Chargers yesterday. The other team that stepped up yesterday, and I thought played great, were the Rams. I mean, the Rams played like a Super Bowl caliber ball club yesterday. I mean, defensively, they made some adjustments from a week ago when they barely got out of Carolina with that 30-27 victory. Yesterday, they dominated the game. Well, you could say, well, you know, Brees didn't play. Well, the bottom line, the defense still played, and the defensive line kicked the you-know-what out of the offensive line yesterday of the New Orleans Saints. And that offensive line with the New Orleans Saints is pretty good. I mean, they're pretty good, and the Rams did a number on them. I mean, Goff was okay yesterday, 19-28, 283 yards. He was sacked, though, three times. That's got to be a little bit of a concern. Again, they didn't run Todd Gurley a ton. And we're going to talk to some people that cover the Rams here going forward. And I want to kind of know what the game plan is. It seems like to me they're going to try to manage him a little bit. I mean, Malcolm Brown's a really good running back. He looked good yesterday, only carried it six times, but had 37 yards. Gurley yesterday, 16 carries, 63 yards, averaged 3.9 a rush. That's not good. He did have a touchdown, though. But the whole thing with the Rams, it's all about the wide receivers. And last year, I thought when Cooper Kupp went out, that offense was never the same. And if it would have been, they may have won the Super Bowl. They may have beaten the New England Patriots. But Cooper Kupp yesterday, even though he didn't get into the end zone, had five catches for 120 yards. He's the security blanket for Jared Goff. And he looks to be completely healthy. And then you got guys like Brandon Cooks. You got Robert Woods. Those guys are great receivers. I love the Ram wide receivers. And that defense, though, is tough. That defense is really tough. Let's get back to the phones. Kurt and Encinitas, you're next up with Coach John Quintero on 97.3 The Fan. Kurt, how are you?
I'm good, Coach. How you doing, man? It's a manic Monday for sure.
Oh, yeah. You know, we always like to overreact or underreact or be overwhelmed or underwhelmed. Coming off a weekend of college and pro football and still finishing up baseball, a lot to cover.
Dude, I love how you nailed the Padres, just with the question mark here, question mark there, question mark, question mark, question mark. But to go along with that, the Chargers, question mark, question mark, question mark. And I enjoyed myself because I'm one of the few Lions fans, and I thought we had our work cut out for us, and the Chargers just couldn't handle us. I mean, scoreboard.
Well, it was scoreboard. You know, I thought Stafford played well yesterday. I mentioned Golladay. He had a big day. I thought the defense stepped up. You know, they were really picking on Darius Slay most of the day. But, you know, he came up with that big interception a little over a minute to go, and that sealed the deal. Lions played some inspirational football. And I'll tell you the other thing that I don't know if it surprised me. You know, I don't know where they are with Patricia there in Detroit. Obviously a bad year last year. It was interesting to watch how the players reacted at the end of the game and how they went up and congratulated him. I know he'd had some surgery and was walking with that crutch, but it seemed like the players kind of liked that guy.
It's crazy. They do. They're playing for him. I know they're rallying. They want to win. And, you know, you're going in, you think the Chargers, it's a no-brainer. Even though it's a 2.5-point spread, those guys know what they're doing in Vegas, apparently. You think the Chargers are going to get the W, and all I hear in the morning is, you know, the Chargers shoulda, coulda, woulda, and what's Rivers doing on 3rd and 19, and, you know, I can't understand, you know, because I live in San Diego, I still want to see the Chargers compete, but the whole field goal, the kicker debacle of keeping a punter in, I mean, this is pro sport. What are they doing?
Well, he did a good job last week. He also has done it in the Canadian Football League. It didn't work yesterday. The two missed field goals, but the Chargers had two touchdowns called back. Eckler fumbles right there at the goal line. I mean, they kicked themselves around 38 different ways to lose that ball game yesterday.
It was almost unwatchable with all those penalties, man. It was just like, penalty, oh, penalty. Are we watching this, you know, replay? No, this is a new play and a new penalty every time. Granted, I enjoyed it because being a Lions fan, but what are you going
to
do?
Yeah, well, hey, congratulations to your Lions, and thanks so much for the phone call, Kirk. Good to hear from you. You be well. That opens up a line at 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Again, we got Bench the Coach coming up here in about 20 minutes. But when we come back, a gentleman I've had on quite a bit over the years, Jason Cole, NFL writer, now editor-in-chief at fansided.com. He will join me, and then we'll get back to more of your phone calls. Coach John Quintero, we're headed to 3 o'clock in the Gwynn and Chris program today, right here on 97.3 The Fan. 1:37 the time. Coach John Quintero with you to 3 o'clock. We got Bench the Coach coming up here after our guest that we're going to get to here in a moment. Again, if you'd like to be a part of Bench the Coach today, we're giving away a four-pack of Ultra Star Cinema Passes. Our phone number, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Bench the Coach coming up at 1:50. Right now, we're going to head out to our newsmaker line, and always a welcome to our program. Jason Cole, NFL writer, editor-in-chief at fansided.com, joins me on 97.3 The Fan. Jason, welcome. How are you today?
I'm great. What's going on, Coach?
Well, we're trying to figure it out. We're taking a look at all these quarterbacks that are going down. Drew Brees going down. Looks like he's going to be out a minimum of 6 weeks, and Roethlisberger's going to be gone apparently for the entire year with right elbow surgery. And let's start with Brees. How do you think Teddy Bridgewater and Payson Hill can step in and they can keep the Saints rolling, you think?
No, well, not like Brees. I mean, come on. I mean, I think that Teddy Bridgewater will do okay. The key is whether their defense is going to be able to keep games in the low 20s. because this is a team that had planned to play in the mid to high 20s. You know, now the question is, can you play where you're trying to win games with 20, 21, maybe 23 points in a game, as opposed to trying to win when you're scoring 25, 26, 28? And it may not seem like a substantial difference. It is, because you're asking for either an extra touchdown drive or an extra field goal drive in just about every game. And I just don't know that you can depend on that with Teddy Bridgewater. Now, I thought Teddy looked okay yesterday at times. Obviously, he struggled. But, you know, that's a tough game on the road in Los Angeles to get thrown in the middle of. I think that when you get some home cooking for him, things will be better, and he'll feel more comfortable. I would have a lot of confidence in Teddy Bridgewater, but don't expect that he's going to be Breeze. I'm not saying anything earth-shattering at this point in time.
No, Jason, I guess what I'm trying to look at right now, I look at that division of Tampa Bay, Atlanta, and Carolina, and the Saints. You know, can they stay, you know, right around the 500 mark and still be, you know, right in the mix for a playoff spot until Breeze gets back, you think?
Yeah, I don't think that Tampa is all that strong, and Carolina's, you know, wobbling pretty significantly here, and especially with the way that Cam Newton is playing and trying to figure it out. I say it's going to take Cam Newton a while, and that may result in the fact that, you know, what are you looking at out of Carolina? An 8-8 season, maybe, you know, right, being right there. If you're in Tampa, are you looking at a 6 or 7 win season? Maybe. So if you can get to 9 victories, you know, hold it, piece it together, and possibly get to 10, I think that probably gets you to second place in that division this year. Now, Atlanta, I thought, looked really strong last night. Now, their opening game was not nearly that, but I thought they went toe-to-toe with one of the best teams in the NFC and beat them, you know, beat Philadelphia. So that was a pretty strong effort for Atlanta yesterday.
Jason Cole, editor-in-chief of Fansided.com, joining us on 97.3 The Fan. Let's go to Pittsburgh and Roethlisberger. They're off to an 0-2 start. He's done for the year now with the right elbow surgery. Could this be the end of Ben Roethlisberger? Could we see him not come back?
Well, I mean, UCL injury is relatively tough. Now, it's not as tough for a quarterback as it is for a pitcher in baseball, because a pitcher in baseball, you need much more command of all your pitches, so you're basically relearning the throw. And that takes a good half a year on top of the normal. With throwing a football, it's not the same kind of touch. There's still touch involved, don't get me wrong, but it's not the same thing. So I think he can. The question is, does he want to?
Right.
And at this stage of his life, you know, you're talking about 38 years old, how much longer does he want to go? Does he want to go until he's 40, 41, 42? I mean, the money's good, certainly. You think, in the high 20s right now, and it's hard to walk away from that. I think more importantly, and I always say this, is, you know, you only get so long to play a kid's game. And, you know, is this the kind of thing where he says, I still want to keep going and chasing this as long as I possibly can? Or is he tired and is he done? That's a tough one that I think only Roethlisberger at this point can answer. He has certainly wobbled on this decision in the past, talking about retirement, although some of that is the typical Roethlisberger drama queen stuff.
Jason Cole, our guest here on 97.3 The Fan. Boy, you covered them there for a number of years. The Miami Dolphins are 0-2. They've been outscored already by 92 points. They've given up 102 points and only scored 10 in their first two games. What is wrong with that organization down there?
Well, I mean, they were tanking. I mean, everybody knows that, right? So are you, when you go out of your way to give away some of your best players and not prepare for a season, you know, you're not worried about this year. This is what you get. And I don't think that people really truly understand how bad it is to tank in football. Like, it's this great, oh, we'll just go 1-15 or 0-16 and, you know, get the number one pick, and that'll change everything, and we'll tank for Tua. Well, there's like 3 or 4 teams that are talking about tanking for Tua, but although the Dolphins, I'll give them credit, they're way out in front of everybody. when you do this, when you become so pitiful that you're A, not competitive, and B, you know, just fielding guys who shouldn't be playing, you're creating a really bad mentality where losing is okay and that stench of losing is all right. And that infects every part of your organization. I think it's really dangerous in football to take on that mentality, and to try and get out of it is really, really hard. Okay. So what they're doing is difficult to respond to. The second part is that you're making it unsafe for the guys who are playing right now, right? Like, I mean, I've watched a little bit of that team. There's only so much I can watch when they're on offense. But, you know, between Fitzpatrick and Rosen, those guys just don't have any time to throw. I mean, they're going to get killed this season. So that's on top of the fact that, look, one player doesn't always change your organization. Now, quarterback is obviously critical, and everybody thinks Tagovailoa is the next big thing, and then followed by Lawrence the next year after that. But boy, you know, it does take more than that. This is not like basketball where one guy changes your whole team because you're only playing five at a time. This is a lot dicier than people think, and getting through it is really hard.
We're visiting with Jason Cole from Fansided.com. He is their editor-in-chief. How about the Baltimore Ravens off to a 2-0 start right now, and Lamar Jackson looking like a Pro Bowl quarterback so far?
It's remarkable, because the quarterback that I saw at the end of last year, you know, he had that really loose arm where he was coming three quarters a lot of the time, dropping the elbow, not being really incredibly accurate. And this one this year, no, there have been a couple throws where, you know, you see the elbow drop a little bit. It's a little too loose. But most of the time, he's getting back there and he's firing it quick. He's getting it out. He's really tightened up his mechanics really effectively. And all those things that we saw, what was it, like 5-6 years ago from Colin Kaepernick when he was going strong with the 49ers. I'm just talking about from a football perspective.
Uh-huh.
Right? When you saw Colin Kaepernick at his best, you know, with Greg Roman calling the plays, I think we're seeing Lamar Jackson pick up and say, this is what that could have been, at least so far, if you refine the passing. Because Kaepernick's passing ability was never that truly great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he had an electric arm. But he wasn't refined in how he threw. I've seen Lamar Jackson make 3 or 4 passes that are right there with the best of any throws that I ever saw Colin Kaepernick make. I mean, that third down throw, that third and long throw that he made to ice in the last 3 minutes, I mean, that's just a dagger throw to Hollywood Brown on the right sideline. I mean, just – and you can – you know, and even if it's just on TV, you can feel that the Baltimore fans are like just – they're soaking it up because it's like they finally have a real offensive weapon, offensive star to get behind after so many years of not having that type of guy.
Hey, Jason, I'm kind of chuckling here a little bit because I got to ask you about Antonio Brown. He played yesterday, had a touchdown. You know, that lady, Brittany Taylor, apparently is meeting with the NFL today. Now we hear there's another lady maybe coming out to talk about Antonio Brown and accuse him of something, and I haven't read the whole article on that yet. But, I mean, Antonio Brown, can you see him making it through the entire year without getting on the commissioner's exempt list, you think?
I wouldn't bet on that. the problem is that there's no criminal charges in any of this, right? At least nothing yet. And the league's going to have to get around that because this does require criminal charges. And so it's another – people used to ask me when they were first starting off with the personal conduct policy, right? And say, well, what about this situation? What about this situation? And I said, guys, you can't write a rule for every situation because you don't know the next stupid thing that people are going to do. And in the case of Antonio Brown, we may have run into the next stupid thing that Antonio Brown did and that people sort of, you know, unfortunately, and I hate to say it this, but allowed him to get away with some of it. To the extent that he wasn't charged criminally along the way. And forced to answer some issues, even if he got off. I mean, at least you'd have had it out there where people were pushing back against him. And as a result, you know, it sounds like we have an athlete who is incredibly out of control. And we've seen that play out just on the football side of it, right? Between what he did at the end in Pittsburgh and what he just got away with in Oakland to get his way to New England. It's a disturbing trend. And what you're seeing behind closed doors may be indicative of what we've seen play out in public.
Jason Cole, my guest here from fansided.com, their editor-in-chief. I want to ask you about the two Southern California football teams. Chargers get beat yesterday in Detroit 13-10. Rams have a real good performance. Obviously, Breeze went down early in that ball game, but they easily got by the New Orleans Saints. Give me your thoughts on both L.A. ball clubs right now after 2 weeks.
Well, I mean, I think that these two teams are still among the strongest. I mean, you know, the Rams, I think, have – but, you know, a little bit better depth. I still worry about Gurley. And I know that, you know, Peter King had a really interesting take about the production from Jackson and Eckler was actually a little bit better than it was from Gordon. I would just say this. Those guys used to be highlighted in situations where, you know, they were in lower leverage situations. So I worry about whether that's going to hold up over the long term. Or whether it's like, okay, you still need to have Melvin Gordon in the long run, right? So I'm concerned about that. I still think that the Chargers are a very well-coached team, and obviously the Rams are incredibly well-coached, certainly from an offensive standpoint between McVay and the defense with Wade Phillips. You wouldn't ask for anything better. I like both of these teams a lot. I think they'll be in the hunt all the way through. I would say this, the Chargers yesterday, that's a game where you've got to get that game on the road. You can't let that one slip away. And that last throw by Phillip Rivers to Keenan Allen, I'm sure, you know, he wants that throw back. Because there was a guy crossing over the middle who was open, and he's probably looking at the replay of that interception going, just be a little more patient. You know, don't force that throw. But you've got to pick up games like that when you got a chance on the road in this league.
Hey, Jason, great stuff as always. Thanks so much for the time. Have a great day and a great week, my friend.
All right. Thanks a lot, Coach. Take care.
There you go. Jason Cole, NFL writer, editor-in-chief at fansided.com. We're going to get momentarily here to bench the coach, but right now I want to announce our biggest fan today, Derek Bisson. Derek Bisson, you're our biggest fan. You have 10 minutes right now to give us a call back at 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973, to win a family four-pack of tickets to SeaWorld. You'll also be entered to win our grand prize, a two-night stay at the Venetian Resort in Las Vegas, including a trip to Legacy's Sports Bar, a restaurant with stadium-style seating featuring elevated game-time classics and gourmet options from Emeril Lagasse. Make sure to sign up at 973thefansd.com/biggestfan to win. Again, Derek Bisson, you have 10 minutes to give us a call. You are today's biggest fan at 833-288-0973.
It's time to test your San Diego sports knowledge and see if you have what it takes to try and bench the coach on 97.3 The Fan.
Coach David in San Diego joins us today.
All righty, David, how are you today? Happy Monday to you.
Thanks, Coach. I'm doing pretty good.
Great. Right, thanks for listening to the program, and thanks for dialing us up today.
Every day, man.
Gentlemen, Manny Machado hit his 30th home run of the season on Saturday. Hunter Renfroe was already at 31. The pair became the first Padres teammates with 30 home runs since Phil Nevin and Ryan Klesko in 2001. With that in mind, name the top five single-season home run hitters of all time for the Padres. You don't have to get the number. We're just looking for names.
How many? The top five?
Top five.
Okay.
First one to three wins. We'll go back and forth one at a time. So David will get first crack at it. David, name one of the Padres players who's got one of the top five home runs, single-season home run seasons of all time.
Adrian Gonzalez.
40 in 2009.
Okay, you're waiting for me, right?
I am.
How about if I go with Greg Vaughn in 1998 with 50 dingers?
That would be big numero uno.
I'm going to go That's a tough one. Gossage, or not Gossage. I was going to go with Nevin, sorry.
Phil Nevin. 41 in 2001.
I'll go with Nate Colbert. He hit 38 in back-to-back years.
Close. 70 and 72.
Oh, okay, sorry.
But yes, Nate Colbert comes in number five with two different 38 home run seasons. We've got a 2-2 tie, but we have tie going to the runner, David. If you get this, you get the family four-pack to Ultrastar Cinema.
That is correct.
Hey, Winfield?
Coach is up. There's one more correct answer for the top five.
One more correct answer. You know what? I'm not sure. There's two guys I was willing to go with, but I'm going to go with Ken Caminiti.
Ken Caminiti for the win. Ken Caminiti with 40 home runs in 1996.
40 home runs. I didn't know if he got to the 40 mark, but I knew he had a big year in 96 when he won the MVP. David, thank you so much for playing. Better luck next time, my friend.
No problem. Thank you. I appreciate it.
That's a wrap. The coach has been benched for now. A 97.3 The Fan.
Okay, you got that list there?
I've got the top
five.
Let's go
through that again, just for people to give them a little Padre history lesson this afternoon.
Sure. We've got Greg Vaughn with 50 homers in 1998. Phil Nevin with 41 in 2001. Ken Caminiti with 40 in 96. Adrian Gonzalez with 40 in 2009. And then Nate Colbert in 70 and 72 hit 38.
Oh, man. I saw all those guys play. I got to tell you, Greg Vaughn, when he hit that 50th homer, he hit it over at Arizona at Chase Field, the final at bat of the season. He put it in that bullpen out there in left field. And again, Phil Nevin, I got to tell you, Nevin, he's the third base coach right now for the New York Yankees. I don't know if he'll ever get an opportunity to be a major league manager, but I think Phil would be a great major league manager. Caminiti, we know about how Ken's life unfortunately unraveled, and he's no longer with us. But I got to tell you, that guy, for people that didn't know Caminiti or people who did know Caminiti and watched him play night in and night out, man played in a lot of pain. I can't tell you how many times I was in that Padre clubhouse prior to a ball game and would watch him try to get himself ready to go out there and play. It was amazing that he was able to go out and play the way he was able to. And then, of course, Adrian Gonzalez, the 40 homers back in 2009. Well, it's too bad. He had that back and neck issue, or he'd still like to be playing right now. And what a marvelous career Adrian had here in San Diego. And, you know, he had some good years with the Dodgers. And big Nate Colbert, one of the first big national stars for the San Diego Padres. And I remember Bob Chandler, our old buddy. Bob had he kept a record of how many times the ball went off that 17-foot-high wall out there. And I think it would have been Nate would have probably hit over 50 home runs if they were in a normal ballpark. But he had 38 home runs those 2 years. So a lot to cover. When we come back in hour number three, USC, UCLA, rough weekend. Clay Helton, Chip Kelly, who's going to last longer? We'll talk about that, and I'll give you my thoughts next on 97.3 The Fan. Thanks for downloading the John Contreras Show on demand. And remember, you can always listen to my show as well as on-demand audio from Ben and Woods, Gwen and Chris, and other Intercom San Diego stations using the Radio.com app. Remember to subscribe to our podcast so you never miss an episode.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.